Hi, my name is Danny Morrell, and this is Real Estate Sales, the podcast for real estate professionals and entrepreneurs that are on a path of daily inspired action leading towards success in every area of their lives. Get ready to once again break through and realize your true potential. Hey friends, how are you? And welcome. This is episode number 9 of the Real Estate Sales Show. I am your host, Danny Morrell. Got to tell you, there's exciting stuff going on with the show. As of this very moment, which this whole iTunes thing drives me a little crazy because I like winning, obviously. And it's kind of like in and out of the top 100. But as of this moment, we're in the top 100 of the business shows. And for new and noteworthy in the business section of iTunes podcast, we are like number 3 right now, which is pretty exciting. And I think it's just because of our commitment level to helping you and to ensuring that we're bringing powerful, powerful guests to challenge you, inspire you, motivate you, teach you, do whatever the case may be to help you get to where you want to be. And this week is no different, guys. And I've got to tell you, I've nicknamed this gal the animal. All right, like literally like grr, because I mean, she is on fire. This is probably one of the hardest working human beings I have ever met in my life. Now, here's a warning for you. Don't try to do what she does because you're going to come up short, because this girl, and I'm going to have her share with you some of her work habits, is like on fire basically from morning to night. And I think that's one of the reasons why she's doing so well. And yet you can grasp a little of that discipline, a little of that work ethic, a little of that passion, and kind of mix it in with what you're doing to enable yourself to grow. So without further ado, I'm going to welcome Ms. Brianna Gapp from Intero Real Estate Services. Say hello, Brianna.
Hi, everyone.
How are you doing today?
Fantastic.
So you're joining us from your home office, huh?
Yes, I am. Home office today.
So first things first, talk to me about home office. Like, it works for you, doesn't it?
It does, but you know, I'm sure you've seen me in the office lately. I mean, I come in the office a couple of days, but I'm out in the field and I work from home. I like working from home because that's just where I feel I get most of my stuff done, feel more productive here.
Awesome. You know, well, I got to tell you, you are one of those people that has like proved me wrong, because I always tell people don't work from home because there's a lot of distractions. So if you're listening and you're working from home and you're not succeeding at the level you want to be succeeding, that might be why. And yet, Brianna, you do pretty well with it. So I'm going to go right into it. Tell me this. What are some of the things that you do, or what are some of the things that you've created at home to ensure that you are successful working from there?
Well, I mean, for me, I did the same thing like everyone else should be doing. I mean, I get up every morning. I literally walk into my office. I joke around with people. I go, I walk outside my bedroom. I, you know, do my stuff in the morning. And then I literally go down the hallway, hang a right, and I shut the door. And I literally don't leave. And I treat it like it's like a real office. Mm. I mean, if like my fiance or anyone tries to come in my door, I'm like, nope, like I'm prospecting here. I'm just very regimented. So I pretend every day like I walk into like my corporation kind of thing. Like I think of it as, you know, just walking into your office that you would walk into as like the office at Intero.
Yeah, yeah. And so the beautiful thing is that, you know, I hear you say things like, I treat it as if. Well, guess what, Brianna? That's why it is.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying? And that's a tip for all of you guys out there, is that if you treat your business like a business, guess what? It becomes a business. So Brianna, let's kind of take a little bit of a step back. I know I deviated because I just, you know, home office, and, you know, I kind of felt inspired to ask you about that. Mm-hmm. Tell me, how long have you been in the business and what inspired you to get into the real estate business?
I've been in the business since I was 18. I did mortgage, but as far as diving into real estate, because real estate and mortgage is completely different. Mm-hmm. Real estate, I've been doing it since 2012. Okay. So about probably 12, 13, 14, 4 years only. I mean, okay. Actively selling real estate.
And so year number one, how many deals did you close?
I did, I think, 6 transactions.
Okay, good. And I know you, you're pretty wired. So was 6 kind of disappointing for you? How did you feel about 6?
Well, I didn't even know like how many deals to do was actually really good.
Okay.
For me, I just started hitting the phones. I didn't even follow a script. I didn't know anything. And I just hit the phones. I did 6 deals in 6 months. So I did about 1 deal a month. Okay. And I didn't even know how to fill out a residential listing contract. I Googled how to do it. That's how green I was. I had to Google how to do it. So when I started, I figured, okay, that's pretty good. And then when I started getting more educated in the business as far as what this person's doing and what this person's doing, then I started to realize, okay, I need to get there. But I always compared to myself as like to the Marty Rodriguez's and the big hitters.
Right.
And I didn't realize in my mind, I was kind of naive, but I feel like in it, like being naive in this business, not knowing who's like, you know, doing 20 transactions, 50 or 100. I just figured if I'm going to be like a big hitter and do my do the amount of business I'm going to do, I'm going to do it like Marty Rodriguez.
I got to go. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. I love it. Okay. Take a little bit of a step back. You know, you just said right off the beginning that all you knew was that you wanted to succeed.
That's it.
Right. Yeah. And all you knew was that you wanted to be, you know, very good and you wanted to be known. I mean, and the other thing that I noticed that you said, Brianna, is that in your first year, you didn't like wait to figure out how to do things. You just went for it.
Yeah, I was just fearless. No fear.
Okay. So if there's somebody out there listening, as a matter of fact, I know this is one of our questions that's going to come up here from one of our listeners. But if there's somebody out there listening who is stuck in fear or who, you know, is stuck trying to read and memorize that purchase contract or that listing agreement, what would you have to say to them or what advice could you give them?
What is the worst that's going to happen?
Wow.
What's worst that's going to happen? So, okay, so you look like, you know, a little embarrassed and you're probably maybe feel stupid or something. I mean, which not, but, mm-hmm. you know, you might just feel a bit discouraged or embarrassed or that, you know, kind of just discouraged. But what's the worst that's going to happen? You're not going to die. That's right. Me in my mind. I'm like, I'm not going to die. So worst case scenario, I walk out of here. I'll get the listing. Who cares? Okay, I'm not dead.
Okay, good.
Try.
Good. All right, good. So now we are a variety show here. We mm-hmm. talk about real estate sales and we talk about death, right? So we cover it all here, yeah. right? All right, Brianna. So year number two, how many deals did you close?
Maybe I think like it was like 10 or 11, something okay. like that. So not that much better. I mean, it was start trickling over. Once again, I was very fresh. I didn't know anything.
Right.
So.
Okay. Year number three?
Which was the year 2000. I think I closed 25 transactions.
So that's a big jump.
Yeah, huge.
All
yeah.
right. So let's talk about that jump.
That's when I started doing more Mike Ferry.
Okay, good. So you started doing more prospecting-based selling.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right?
Okay. And then year number four, which was last year, how many deals did you close?
I think I closed 32.
Nice, 32.
Yeah, but I increased my sales price, so that was huge for me.
So it was very, very good.
Yeah.
So now you're increasing sales price, increasing closed transactions, and then this year, I know you're off to an amazing start. I believe you've already closed in less than 90 days, somewhere in upwards of $4.5 million in closed volume. Is that correct?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, good. So what is your goal for this year?
My goal for this year is 20 million. Look at this board in the back. See the board in the back? See, there's 20 million. 20 million. If I could do, you know, 22, 23, I mean, I'm kind of shooting to be extreme like that, but I'm okay with 20.
Okay, good. Hey, it's not that bad to be okay with 20. That's like a yeah. good life, right? And I know you've got a lot of exciting things going on in your life. I know you just bought a piece of land. You're about to go through the headache, I'm sorry, that I just went through for the last 2 years.
I already know it's coming, yeah.
It's coming, right? So let's talk about this, Brianna. You are a very regimented person.
Very.
And I believe that one of your strengths is that you show up every single day to work.
Every day.
Whether it's at your office, whether it's here, whether it's wherever, you're constantly like in the zone.
Constant.
If you were to attribute it, and I want to be careful because I know that we're all wired differently. And I know that, you know, that's a strength for you. But if you were to like pinpoint, for example, why it is that you are wired in that way where you want to show up every single day for work, what do you think it is? What's that little secret ingredient?
That's a really good question. You know, I mean, maybe it's just the way I've been raised. I mean, my father was always the kind of person, every day I'd wake up, I'd see him going to the office every single day. So maybe it's just the way I've been a product of my own environment. I don't know.
Okay. So you don't quite have an answer for that.
You know, I mean, it's hard because people ask me that question, like, you know, how do you just like go to the office every single day? I just kind of tell myself, look, this is the life that I want to live. Wow. If I want to do it,
yeah.
I got to do it every day. And there's no excuses.
Right.
That's just the way I think of it. I mean, I think I'm lucky to be in a position that I am to do real estate. And I think I have a natural gift also of selling real estate. And the fact that I'm given this opportunity and I can work from home at times, you know, I think I'm lucky to have this position and do it every single day right. and like what I do.
So I guess what I hear you saying, Brianna, and I think people have a hard time with this. I think that there's three ways to look at things, right? You can look at it really, really negatively. You could look at it as if, it's neither here nor there, or you could look at it in a positive manner. And I think, you know, for those of you listeners that are, that heard or already hearing or noticing little things that Brianna is saying, she's way on the other side of the spectrum. She's talking about positivity. She's talking about possibility. She's talking about gratefulness. Mm-hmm. She's talking about being happy and thankful that she's in the business. And yet there's people that we know, and maybe you're struggling with this right now. You're constantly thinking about what's wrong with the business or how the clients are a pain or how the transaction is falling out. And I got to tell you guys, thoughts are things. Would you agree with that, Brianna?
Absolutely. I mean, let's think about this. I mean, agents get paid an average commission check here in Rancho Cucamonga or in Inland Empire, I think it's safe to say about, what, $7,000 to $15,000, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's think about this. Where else can I go that I actually really like what I do? Sometimes I'm angry about what I do, but sometimes, most of the time I'm very happy about what I do when deals go bad. But think about this. Where else can you go and work what you do? You know, you can even do it part-time and make good money, right? And then work from home and be blessed that you can make $7,000, which is more than most people make, right? Per check.
For one transaction.
For one transaction. You can just make at least $8,000 a month. You can't go anywhere right now in California and get that kind of a job unless you're an attorney or something like that. For me, I feel very privileged and lucky that I can make that kind of cash. And that's why I come here every day in the office every morning and just ready to kill it because I know I can make that money.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. So you're motivated, and there's nothing wrong with this, but you're motivated by finances. Is that 100%. Is that correct? Okay,
yeah.
Good. So talk to me about that. What is so motivating about it, or what do you see for your future? Or I guess what I'm trying to say, and Brianna, like this is I love this about you because this is half the battle, right?
Oh, yeah.
Half the battle is making sure that you're okay up here.
Yeah.
You know, and for a lot of people that's so difficult because they come from an employee background where you know, maybe it's a crummy work area or whatever the case may be. And then they get into sales and it's all on them, right? You have a gift, I think, for always seeing the positive in everything, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So you're motivated by money. You're motivated by financial freedom. Where do you think that came from and what specifically motivates you about that?
I mean, what motivates me when I first started this business, I mean, my first why was that I wanted to really impress my family. I wanted them to be proud of me. Mm. Before I started real estate, I was a bartender. I was, you know, I didn't really do really much. So for me is that
I cannot picture you as a bartender at all. I can't even picture ordering a drink from you because I'd be afraid that you'd like bite my head off or something like that. You know what I mean?
I probably did.
You probably did, huh?
Yeah. So, but for me, what motivates me is that, you know, I'm here to, you know, make my family proud. I want to be able to be, you know, the daughter that's going to be like, hey, mom and dad, like, let's take a trip. I want to be able to pay for you, right? I mean, a lot of my whys is, you know, the landlot. Like, look at me. Like, I treat my landlot as I do as my business, just fearless. People right. probably think I'm crazy for buying a land lot and being very, you know, taking a lot of risk. But for me, that's my why. That's what drives me every day. I go by that lot like I did last night and I just like sitting there thinking about all the possibilities that I could do in my life. If I can buy a lot,
what else can I do?
Yeah. So what motivates me is I think I have a rush from doing things that I feel like are untouchable.
Yes.
So for me, I like to do things that push me to that limit that I know that I feel like I've never done before. And then I feel very proud of myself for reaching those crazy over the top things that I want to do in my life, like travel, have my wedding in Hawaii. I do all those things and I sit here and I come into my office every day and I'm motivated because those are the things that I've dreamed of and I felt I would never get. And I told myself one day, you know, Brenna, you're not gonna be able to do that and do this. And then one day I just clicked and I said, why not?
Yeah.
I see everyone else people doing it. I'm going to do the same thing. That's what drives me every day to work hard to have the life that I want. And that's it.
Yeah. You know, Brianna, it's funny. I do these interviews and every once in a while people say things that get me like emotional and get me welled up. And I could feel like this thing in my chest. Right. And everything you just said, it just made me so happy because I'm like that as well. you know, and you know that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's one of the things that we're missing in this country is more people that realize that absolutely anything and everything is possible.
Anything.
So talk to them because they don't know, you know, for those of you guys that don't know, Brianna just bought a piece of land. Tell them about that. I mean, you could have just gone out and bought a house. Like what, why buy a piece of land? Why go through that?
Well, number one, because I can, but right. I mean, I'll tell you kind of a story.
I love that answer.
So funny. I'm sitting there on my couch one day. It was late at night and all of a sudden I see this land lot. Domin gives me the idea. When you put something in my, and you tell me why don't you think about this? All of a sudden my mind starts turning. It's like, it's always thinking, right?
Right.
So one day he tells me, we should build a property. And I'm like, you're crazy. There's no way you could do that. And then I heard about you doing it. And I'm like, Danny can, I can.
That's right.
I sat on the couch one day, there's this land lot listed for $189,000 on the MLS.
Yeah.
I had seen all these land lots that were overpriced and I go, none of those are going to fit for me. And I go, you know what? What are the chances of me just calling the listing agent right now, offering a lowball offer on all these land lots, maybe someone will take a bite and end up accepting my offer.
Right.
Well, come to find out, I ended up writing it up like $80,000 lower. And my offer is accepted and we closed it 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
So once again, you always kind of, I could have told myself, oh no, that's not going to work. Oh no, they're not going to accept my offer because it's a lot lower. Oh no. No, I just went for it because why? I'm fearless. What's the worst that's going to happen?
Yeah.
They're going to say no. I'm going to walk on to the next and buy a different piece of land.
So you know, Brianna, I guess that leads me to my next question. A lot of people suffer from paralysis by analysis.
Oh my God.
Like they just overthink it, right?
Yes.
And I remember I did the same thing. I said, you know what? I don't really like any of these houses around here. None of them are the way I want them. Let's go get a piece of land. You know, and I didn't even think twice. I just went for it. And when you do that, it's like God blesses you and like the doors just start opening up, right?
Yep.
So talk to me about how you use that to your benefit when it comes to prospecting. Because I know that that's one of your strengths and that you do this every single day. First things first, do you have any negative emotions at all or fears when it comes to prospecting?
100%. I mean, I do every day. Like there's times
where, okay, good.
Yeah, like when I get on the dial, there's times where I'm like, I don't really feel like doing this today. But at the same time, I'm like, what else are you going to do? Just
right.
get on the phones. And then I sit there and I changed my mindset real quick. I'm like, look, this is what you got to do. You got to be on this dialer. This is your bread and butter right here. Just do it for 3 hours in the morning.
And get it done.
Get it done with. That's it.
All right. So let's talk because and by the way, Brianna, this is such an encouraging conversation. I think for a lot of the women out there, you know, I think that you are like you are going to show them what's really possible. Like we, you know, man, woman, whatever you are, we all have this energy in us. And we just have to channel it. Right. So
awesome.
let's talk. What time do you start making phone calls?
I start making phone calls. Well, I mean, I used to get on like at 7:30, 7:45. Then I got in trouble because you're not really supposed to call before 8. Because I was like, I'm going to be on the phones before everyone else can.
Right.
But I usually start at 8 sharp every time.
At 8 sharp.
Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. By the way, don't let that one time you got in trouble distract you. You can get on the phones. I mean, that.
I know.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, that's okay. All right. That's between you and I. There,
yeah.
Okay? All right. So you get on the phones at 8. And then what is your typical call length? Like, how long do you go?
You mean as far as in the morning time?
Mm-hmm.
As far as just prospecting in general?
It. Yeah.
8 to 11.
Okay. 8 to 11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 8 to 11 in the morning. And then if I reward myself, if I don't get a listing appointment from 8 to 11, I know a lot of agents at Intero, a lot of my role play partners know this about me. I'm like, if I do not get a listing appointment at 8 and 11, I'll end up prospecting again between 4 and 6.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so a typical day, you're on the phones from 8 to 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you don't get a listing appointment, then you'll come back and you'll do more in the evening from 4 to 6.
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. So on average, you're saying that for you to do 3 hours of lead generation is no problem at all?
No problem.
Okay, now watch. And I'm going to take a little bit of a timeout here for you listeners. The reason why it's no problem at all is because she knows what she wants. She knows that it's possible to get it, and she's not afraid of it coming true. And I think a lot of us, number one, have no idea why we're in this business. Number two, are not clear with what we want. Number three, even if we were clear with what we want, we have so much disbelief and anxiety in what's really possible for our life that it holds us back. Would you agree with that statement, Brianna?
110%.
Okay, good. 110%. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And so now you prospect, and when you call, on average, how many people do you speak to per hour?
I mean, it all ranges because right now the amount of listings are a little bit lower than they are, probably because a lot of the homes are selling quicker and easily. I guess they don't. There's not as high an amount of expireds. I think that you kind of know that. Yeah. So right now, I'm probably getting for about 3 hours, probably 30, 40 people.
Okay. So you're averaging between 10 and 12 people per hour, basically.
Give or take 10 to 15. Yeah.
Okay, great. Now listen, and I know that to be true because those are the numbers I used to hit. I used to be between 10 and 15. So let's talk about this. This is like coaching 101. Mm-hmm. If someone is averaging 3 people per hour, what could be the reason?
Oh gosh. Well, I mean, they're just not dialing enough numbers at a time. They're just sitting there taking like 30 minute coffee breaks. Okay. Or whatever. I mean, that's a good question. I don't know.
Could be they're long conversations. Yeah. Could be they're not following a script.
Right.
Right. These are, and could be that they're just not focused with the intention of being on the phone for the time that they're on
the
phone.
I feel like a lot of people, and I was telling this to some people that shadow me last week, I said, you know, when you're on the phone, are you dialing or are you really dialing? Because right. You could sit there and be like screwing off or whatever, and then, you know, not even really trying to answer the phone, or someone throws you an objection and you go, oh, I'm gonna hang up.
Right. Right. It's like, are you in the game? Are you trying to win it? You know what I mean? So, okay, fantastic. And so you're averaging 10 to 15 people per hour, right? And guys, I'm asking these questions so that you can kind of get an idea as to what you need to be doing, right? And then if you don't set an appointment, you typically come back in the afternoon session. So talk to me. In that afternoon session, who are you calling?
I'll switch it up. I'll either call just listed as sold, or I'll call expired. I call the same leads because think about it. The people that you don't get a hold of in the morning time, maybe they did work different, you know, jobs where you can get a hold of them in the evening time. And I feel like people are in a better mood in the evening time because they're not rushing to work in the morning. You call them the evening time, maybe you can catch them that time. And I do. So that's why I personally love dialing in the evening time.
Okay, so this brings up a good question because a lot of people out there say, and I know the answer, and I just want to hear your thoughts. They say, well, you know what? I just would rather prospect in the evening and not do it in the morning. Why do you think that's a no-no? Why do you think that the evening should be secondary to the morning?
Because the early bird gets the worm. That's right. I mean, you can really do really, you could be not even a good prospector. And if your body's just on the phone and you're the first person to get that hot expired, I mean, the odds can't work against you. You'll end up just at least getting a lead just being on the phone in the morning.
Awesome. So Brianna, I know what your answer is going to be, but for those of you that are new to the business that are out there listening right now, you're hearing an example of a business model that requires very little financial leverage, meaning you're not going to need a lot of money to get going. This is just your desire to help people, desire to win in life, and your ability to communicate in a powerful fashion. Brianna, how important do you think it is to know what to say and how to say it?
It's really important because if you're sitting on the dialer and you're not actually doing the role plays and actually going over the scripts, when you're on that phone, I mean, you're just wasting time. You're wasting your money. And at the end of the day, I mean, what are you really worth every hour?
Absolutely. Good answer.
So, I mean, when you're on the phones, I mean, there's been times when I first started and I was actually dialing for like 4, 5, 6, 7 hours, like crazy. And I wasn't getting any leads, right? I mean, I was getting a few here and there, but I figured it's like work smarter, not harder.
Yep.
Learn what to say, because if you don't, then you're just sitting on the phone and you're wasting time. That's
absolutely
it. You're wasting time.
Absolutely. I love it. Okay. And then tell me this so that people get an idea. You will close how many transactions this year?
I always like focus on volume, but I mean, for transactions, probably close to around 55.
Bless you. Thank you so much. Okay, great. And of those 55, I guess this is a big one because I think people have a big fear in this. Mm-hmm. People are afraid are going of going after the listing and making that the priority, and they work a lot with buyers. And I think that it's because, you know, it takes a lot of skill, a lot of tenacity, a lot of confidence, and a lot of leadership to go after listings, right?
Right.
So what percentage of your time do you focus on going out and finding listings?
I mean, honestly, I told you in the last meeting that we had, I was on the panel, that I'm trying to implement more buyers. But I mean, I would like to focus, my focus is like 95%, but I know that I'm leaving a lot of money on the table, not representing buyers. Mm-hmm. But yes, it's definitely no less than 90% that I focus my energy on listings.
So 90% of what you do on a day-to-day basis has one target, and that's to go out and acquire listings.
That's it. Just getting listings. You have to keep in mind that, you know, another agent told me this, that's a top producer, and Mike Ferry, I forgot their name, but they had said to me, well, I mean, think about it. Are you the employee or are you the employer? Yeah, I'm right. Like, what do you mean? And they're like, well, the listing agents are what actually is in charge. They're the employers. I mean, not that I'm saying I don't mean to put down buyer's agents, but
no.
The buyer's agents have to rely on our inventory. I'm not going to rely on people's inventory. I'm going to bring it. So I limit my amount of risk. You have more risk as a buyer's agent. You have less risk as a listing agent, but you have more responsibility, and people don't like that.
I love it. And by the way, you know, Brianna, I think you know this, but I spent my first 3 years as a buyer's agent, where mm-hmm. all I did was I worked on buyers. And then I just knew, like, I as hard as I wanted to work and as tenacious as I was, I kept hitting a ceiling of production. And I knew the only way that I was ever going to get to 50, 75, 100, 150 deals is by focusing on listings. And that's where, you know, you got to make those tough decisions. But again, it all boils down to, what do you want, right?
Exactly.
So Brianna, before I go into my favorite part of the show, I've got to ask you that question. What do you want? Like, what are your big aspirations in this business, and what do you see for your future?
What do I want? Well, you know, I'm here to build a life. I want to be able to provide for my kids one day. And then the day I do have kids, when I can slow down real estate for once and have time to have kids. But I want to be able to provide for my family. I want to be able to build my dream home. I want to make my family proud. And my dream is to be a millionaire one day. That's my dream.
I love it.
It is. Yeah.
By the way, by when will you do that?
Oh, God. I mean.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to help you. Do you know my story about this?
No.
So I went to a seminar and I heard this. It was Robert Allen. You ever heard of Robert Allen and Mark Victor Hansen?
Yes.
Robert Allen is doing a seminar, and I'm with my friend, Vinny Saucedo. I'll never forget this. And he starts asking everybody if they know their net worth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here I am, Mr. Hotshot, 2 years in the business. I'm selling 30 homes. You know, I'm like 20 years old. You know, nobody's making this kind of money, whatever the mm-hmm. case may be. And, you know, I thought I had a high net worth. Sure enough, I put the pencil to paper. My net worth was negative $34,000.
Okay. Meaning,
right? That was my net worth. And then I said, you know what? I have a goal. I'm going to make it a goal. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to make it a goal. Again, this goes, you're going to love this. You know, you think crazy things and then they just happen. I'm going to make it a goal to have a net worth of $1 million within the next 24 months.
Good.
Sure enough, I think it was like 26 months later, like I hit it and I did it. So Brianna Gap, 24 months.
As far as being a millionaire?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, yeah, I mean, honestly, you asked me that question. I'm like, yeah, I'll be a millionaire in 24 months. No problem.
Yes.
So, I mean, let's shoot for it. But I mean, I'm going to be a millionaire one day. I mean, it's going to be sooner than later.
I think you can do it within the next 24 months.
Okay.
Like, I'll show you how to do it. It's actually fair.
I want to see the math equation.
I'll show you how to do it. It's very simple. Okay. All right, here we go. So favorite part of the show, hashtag R-E-S, pardon me, hashtag ask R-E-S show. Go to Instagram or Facebook, type that in, and you will see a history of all the questions or all the opportunities you've had to ask questions. One of the things that I'm starting, if you haven't already done so, look for me on Instagram at Danny Morrell or on Facebook. Find my business page, danny.morrell.page. And when I'm about to interview somebody like Brianna in the morning or sometimes even a week in advance, I'll put up a picture and I'll say, what questions do you have? And you have an opportunity to ask questions from some powerful people like Brianna. So here we go. This is an Instagram question, and this comes from Maricela Casillas from Century 21 All-Stars. So she says, hi, Danny. please ask Brianna, what system do you use for expireds, and how many times do you try to contact people before you go to the door directly?
I use Vulcan 7.
Okay, Vulcan 7.
Vulcan 7 is the dialer system that I use. As far as how many times do I continue to call them before I door knock them?
Right.
Well, I don't really do a whole lot of door knocking, but I'll tell you this. I'll keep calling them until they answer the phone or they tell me to basically, you know, kind of screw off.
Yeah.
Or if there's a wrong phone number or they've already relisted, then I'll take them out of the queue and take them out of the list of calls. But I keep continuing to call them until I end up getting a hold of them. Now, will I over door knock my expired leads? Yeah, I do. And I actually will put together a list of mostly my Rancho, you know, kind of upland leads from, let's just say I started Monday and then Friday I like to door knock because people are in a better mood on Thursday and Friday, closer to the weekend. So I'll end up putting together a list of like maybe anywhere between 15 and 25 leads up until that Friday that I've collected throughout the week that are expired that I did not get a hold of.
And then
maybe there's a wrong phone number. I'll hit those and I'll door knock them.
Good.
And I door knock about probably close to 10 to 20 homes a week, give or take around there.
Okay, good. Fantastic. That's a great question. Here's another question. And this question comes from Tamara Vuskovich. Tamara Vuskovich asks, what are you doing, Brianna, to ensure that you are continuing to grow and continuing to stay hungry? This was a Facebook question.
I'm always just, you know, trying to ask why I have a Mike Ferry coach, Ann Daly. I'm always asking her about things that I should be changing up. What should I do to push myself? And I'm never feeling comfortable. I'm always feeling uncomfortable in some parts of my business. And those are the times that I know that I'm growing, is that I'm not really comfortable with doing something, but I know it's changing my business and it's also improving my business and helping me learn and grow.
So, question for you. How do you make sure to stay in uncomfortness? Is it that you're always thinking of new goals and you're always pushing yourself? Does that have anything to do with it? Or
absolutely. I mean, I'm always pushing myself to, you know, I want to be able to achieve this. And it kind of helps me guide as far as my focus and what I need to be doing. But I'm also asking other agents questions. I'm also talking to, you know, top producers, like, what are you doing? Like, I'm always curious to see what are people doing. There's nothing wrong with the question. Ask lenders. And then read a lot. I mean, sometimes you can see what's going on in the real estate market, that kind of stuff. You just want to always be knowledgeable, but asking questions of people that do more business than you.
Yes.
And to get more knowledgeable at that. And once again, you know, always making sure that you're doing the scripts and you're perfecting, you know, what you say on the phones to people. Just kind of trying to keep sharp.
Awesome. I love it. Here's another question. By the way, you're getting a lot of female love here, so I love this. Woman power. This is Shannon McDowell Gata, brand new to the business, is barely even going to get her license. She says, for someone just beginning, where would you suggest I begin in preparation besides your daily routine? Assuming that your daily routine is set. Meaning, like, what should she be working on right now?
Just get on the phones.
Just get on the phones.
I mean, literally, I mean, that's how I was. I mean, when I didn't know anything. I didn't even know how to fill out a listing contract. Well, guess what? You will figure out how to fill out a listing contract. If someone says, we're going to give you a listing right now and you can make $10,000. And obviously, if she's new, she's going to be hungry for that 10 G's, right? So just get on the phones. It'll all take itself afterwards because you have the support of Ontario, I'm sure, to fill a listing contract.
Okay. I love it. I love it. Here's another question. And this is kind of cool. They're flowing here. Linda Griego, and I believe Linda is from Realty One. Yes, she is. Linda Griego from Realty One asks, what is your daily routine?
Daily routine is very simple. I mean, it's like I literally get up, I get on the dialer about 8 o'clock. I do my positive affirmations before that. There are sometimes I don't have time to do my positive affirmations, but I try to do them every time. I dial from 8 to 11. After 11 o'clock, I do my follow-ups from 11 to 12, and then, you know, I take a little bit of a lunch, and then I do focus on kind of getting some of my files together, maybe if there's escrow issues or I got to handle between like 12 and 1, and then I go in appointments, probably generally between 1 and 5 p.m. Okay. If I don't have an appointment, I'm usually dialing in the evening.
So, Brianna, it sounds to me like what you're saying is that 80% of your day is spent looking for business.
Yeah, I mean, what else are you going to do with your time?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I love when real estate professionals say, you know, I'm too busy.
Oh God.
I'm busy. And then look, you know, I was going to say, if you're doing 100 deals a year, that's great. But the reality is, even when you're doing 100 deals a year, you're less busy than when you're by yourself doing 20, 25. Because by the time you're doing that, your business is highly leveraged. You have people, you have staff, you have, you know, help, whatever the case may be. Busy is like a state of mind, I believe, you know?
Absolutely.
And totally. I think that the only thing that you should be doing or busy doing in this or in any business is generating business.
That's it. Always. Yeah. I mean, I'm always generating business. I mean, I even told, you know, other agents in my office, I'm like, not only am I always prospecting, but I always got a big stack of cards in my purse. I go to the grocery store. I mean, I literally have like this obsession where I'm constantly always handing out my card, talking to people about real estate. I mean, I talk to people at the gym about real estate. I talk to people at the grocery store. I talk to people, literally, I'll talk to a random person in the gas station about real estate. So always have cards, because it's like, I make it my lifestyle, but I also obviously, it's part of my business.
Right. And I, you know what? And I think we can start ending here. It seems to me that you are perfectly comfortable with yourself and with yourself within this business. Meaning, so many people have so many mental hangups about the business, about themselves, about if people like them, if they're going to succeed, if they're not going to succeed. You didn't like mention any of that stuff. You're just like, go.
Like, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, I don't really care how embarrassed I get if I screw up on a listing appointment. I don't really care if people think I'm absolutely crazy. The point is that
you want to win.
I know what I have to do, and there's nothing that's going to stop me.
Awesome.
You know, and I just, people, once a lot of people, I feel like, that start in this business that are new, you know, especially women out there, you know, don't try to impress other people or do whatever. Just focus on yourself. Be in one thing. I feel like clients like me and other people, I feel like, that do look up to me, it's because I'm just honest. I'm just honest with myself. I'm just real. And I don't really care what anyone thinks about me. So just go out there, pound that pavement, no matter how silly you feel like you look. Like yesterday, I was walking up this driveway in Red Hill area, and it's like this steep slope, and I felt like such a loser for walking up this steep slope in my heels, and I'm like out of breath up there, right? And I felt so like lame at times, because we all go through this, right?
We all do.
Top producers or people that don't do any deals, right. I'm walking all the way up there, and I'm door knocking, you know, I'm going up this hill, and it's windy, and I knock on the door, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, well, that was nice. I'm sitting here at this front door and no one's answering the door to me. And I walked all up that hill for nothing, but I walked down almost falling on my butt. But at the end of the day, I don't care. It's like one door down, that's in the next door that I'm going to get onto my yes door. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm going to, you know, just in that last minute, I'm sure you see, we grab a lot of quotes and we paste them on Instagram and all over the place. I got a couple of good quotes. I'm excited once I hear this episode again. There's a lot of great information in what you just said right there. And I think that that's the mastery that you have learned, Brianna, is that you don't care.
I don't care.
The only thing you care about is what you want to accomplish.
That's it.
And I think a lot of people needed to hear that. So I have one request for the women out there, you know, who want to do more, who want to be more, who want to have more, who want to experience more, who are admiring you right now for, as a woman and as a powerful woman, saying, I want to build a custom home the way I want it. I'm going to go buy my piece of land the way I want to do it. What's the one tip that you would give them that could help them to break through and actually achieve what it is that they want to achieve?
There's so many things I could say that I could go on this forever, because I'm all about woman power.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of women also feel like there's other men that are very competitive in this business, and you just think like a man. I mean, that's my mindset. I mean, I literally just think that women, you know, can do anything that a man can do. And I think that's what I hear a lot of times in this business. It's like, don't get hung up on it. It's like, we can do exactly what men can do.
Or more.
If not, we can do it better.
I think so too. No, I really do. It's like, you know, my wife, Claudia, and she respects you tremendously for what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But Claudia would always ask me, she'd look at the top producers in the company. She says, you know what pisses me off? I said, what? She says, how come there's no women up there? And I go, I don't know. I didn't do anything. I didn't like purposely tell them to not produce at a high level. She goes, that pisses me off.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm doing my CrossFit competitions, I want to beat everybody. Yeah. I want to beat the girls. I want to beat the young. I want to beat the old. I want to beat the guys. And sure enough, like she would whoop me in CrossFit. And I think she would because you have to have that mentality.
You do. You do. I think women are very, a lot of women tend to be less, or a little bit, I think it all comes down to confidence.
Yes.
And a lot of women feel like, you know, they have such confidence issues. And I, even though you might not think I do, but I do, there's days where I look in the mirror and I'm like, I don't feel pretty or whatever. And that comes from inside. It's like, for me, you know, don't fear of being rejected. That's the problem. Women always fear rejection. And at the end of the day, for me, I look at that and I'm like, women can conquer anything. They can do whatever they want, and do not let fear get in the way of your daily basis. That's it. It's just it's out the window. Just get up every day, do what you have to do. If anyone tells you can't do it, just say you can, and just put blinders on. Just focus on what you have to do every day for your family, for your kids, whatever your goal may be. But just realize that, you know, just don't even put fear in your dictionary.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you. I feel like we just like struck a nerve. So I want to ask you like one more question. And it's funny because I had the question and then I just drew a blank, you know. You said something. I was like, ooh, I got to ask her about that. So I guess let me ask you this. I think part of being successful is having a peaceful and successful mind. And you have a peaceful and successful mind by surrounding yourself and only allowing yourself to have an inner circle of people that are going to support, encourage you, push you, and motivate you. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is that once you do that, nothing else matters.
No.
Like all of the other noise, all of the other people, none of that stuff matters, right?
Right.
And so I guess my question to you is, how small of a circle do you keep?
Very small. I mean, honestly, when I was in bartending before, I hung out with totally the wrong people.
Mm.
And it sounds sad because I feel like I lost a lot of relationships that I do miss sometimes. But at the end of the day, I mean, if you don't surround yourself with the like-minded people like yourself or people that are, I want to hang out with people that are better than me.
Yeah.
I want to hang out with people that do four times as much business as me. And you know what? For me, those are the kind of people that pushed me to be better. And if you continue to surround yourself with people that, you know, don't have the same mindset as you are, you're naturally going to feed off those people.
Right.
And you'll just be on their level. And I'm sorry to say this, but I want people better than me. I don't want to be able to push myself and learn from the other people that are better.
I love it. I love it. And in terms of your, like, I guess your family and your circle of it, do you keep that tight as well?
Absolutely. I mean, I like I said, my wedding has got probably 30 or 40 people that are going to it. You know, I have like awesome. Just my immediate family, and that's important to me. But yeah, I mean, my circle is pretty tight. But I mean, I have a lot of friends at Antero and a lot of people that I know. So
yeah. I love it. Fantastic, Brianna. I feel like we're going to empower a lot of people. I feel like a lot of women specifically are going to go, pardon my French, but holy shit. Like, okay, I get it now. Like, I got to get to work, you know? A lot of people are going to want to get a hold of you, get in touch with you, send you some referrals, tell them what areas do you specialize in, and how do they get a hold of you if they want to get a hold of you?
Just get a hold of me by my email. I can just say it right here. Or how do you want me to
do that? Yeah.
It's Brianna, Brianna at soldbybrianna.com, SOLD by Brianna.com. You can either email me or Facebook Messenger me.
How do they find you on Instagram? What's your
It's Sold by Brianna.
Awesome.
That's it.
Awesome.
That's it.
Fantastic. Episode number 9, my friends, is a wrap. How do you feel, Brianna?
Awesome. Go woman power. That's it. I don't want to hear any more fears from these ladies in our office. That's it.
I love it. I love it. I love it, guys. If you enjoyed this episode, drop Brianna a line. If you have any questions for her, go ahead and reach out to her. I know that one of the strengths of the show, we're up to 2,000 downloads a week right now. And it's just been literally 2 days ago was our 1 month anniversary. So I know that Brianna, you're going to have an impact on a lot of people, not just here in Southern California, but it's spreading all across the country and all across the globe right now. So thank you very much for the way you are empowering people by being an amazing example. For those of the guests that we have that are listening, thank you for joining us again. If you haven't already done so, listen to last week's episode. We had a strong episode with Gary Acosta, with Joe DeRaphael, who just absolutely blew my mind when it came to the mental side of selling. And once again, guys, go out there, be more, do more, and expect to have a lot more in life. We will see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.